Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Once in a generation, there comes a program so definitive, so informative, so captivating, it becomes synonymous with the word excellence. But none of those shows would let me on, so this is Johnny Danger back once again with Georgia Wrestling Now.
Well, thanks a lot, Johnny Danger. And this is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. And after a week where Darren Young came out of the closet, and Jeter won yet another heavyweight title at UIW.
What a segue.
Yeah, those are pretty excellent things, I would say.
Yeah, big stories.
Yeah, so we are here, and congratulations again to Jeter for the second week in a row. I'm sure Jeff G. Bailey is a proud and happy man, having managed Jeter. It's to both the Anarchy title and the UIW title. But got much more to talk about tonight, including tonight's guests, who are Eric Bradford, who is from South Carolina. He's best known for being on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Redneck Island reality show last year. And he wrestles for WrestleForce and APW, not Alternative Pro Wrestling. It's American Premier Wrestling in Statesboro, which, kind of like last week, is when we talked to the guys from Showtime Wrestling. This APW is a show that I at least don't hear a whole lot about. But I see them on Facebook and stuff, and they have consistently Luke Gallows and other big names like that, as well as people like Bradford and John Malice and big names from the Southeast. So curious to hear about that show. Then we're also going to talk to the Black Baron, who will be in the main event of the Summer SmackDown Back to School event in Thomas, Georgia, taking on the Fireman. They are both affiliated with WWA 4 School, so a lot of people should know them. But what do you have to talk about, Johnny Danger? PWR returns this Sunday, so I'm sure you will be involved in that show.
Yeah, I'm looking real forward to that. Myself and Matt Sexsells, of course, the Rock and Roll Models, still the PWR Tag Team Champions, will be defending our titles. All the titles will be defended, in fact. We'll have the U.S. Champion Kevin Blue, the World Champion Zach Daniels, and kind of a dream match defending against Jacob Ashworth. You know, these guys, they don't hook it up too often. They're both phenomenal athletes.
Yes, they are, and I think maybe Johnny Danger cut out. Are you still there, Johnny?
Yeah, you hearing me okay?
I heard you say they're both phenomenal athletes. Was there more after that?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Jacob Ashworth will have Quasiman Disco in his corner, and we both know what that means.
Yes, we do. Well, you've had your own dealings with Quasi, so you know exactly what that means.
Yeah, Zach Daniels is going to have to have eyes in the back of his head. I mean, Jacob Ashworth is dangerous enough on his own, but you got somebody as devious as Quasi on the outside. And we could see a new champion pretty quick.
Absolutely. Well, who are the Rock and Roll Models taking on?
You know, I don't know just yet, but speaking of the Rock and Roll Models, our third member, Joey Kidman, the Wild Child, he should be there as well. And you know, I'm not too wild about the number three. I think four sounds a lot better. So take that however you will.
All right. Well, I guess that means people should be there to see what that means.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So you also were at PCW on Saturday, and I think you debuted a new talk show segment or something like that.
Yeah, we finally found out exactly what Johnny Danger time is. It's you know, there's really nothing else like it in wrestling right now. I'm trying to entertain, to educate kids of all ages, really. And the first episode, we focused on the importance of setting forth a good appearance. So, you know, I came out in a shirt and tie, kind of threw the crowd for a loop, wanted to impress them the first night on the job. And then I turned into Jeff G. Bailey to show that, you know, you could dress up and still be a butthole. And Jeff G. and Siler Cross didn't appreciate that. So, you know, when Siler Cross came out, I got out of there pretty darn quick.
Smart move.
And I kind of continued later on in the night, when Siler challenged Supernatural for the heavyweight championship. Jeff G. interjected himself pretty quick. I wasn't having that, so I ran out showing, you know, I got Supernatural back. And Jeff G. ultimately got his man disqualified when he pushed Supernatural off the top rope. Siler brought that stretcher back out, but he put me out of wrestling on, out of PCW wrestling anyway. And tried to do the same as Supernatural. So I pulled the champ out of the ring, and we got a match the first Saturday of the next month. It's going to be Siler and Supernatural one more time, no DQ. I'm going to be handcuffed to Bailey at ringside. If Siler Cross wins, he gets 5 minutes in the ring with me. If Supernatural wins, I get 5 minutes in the ring with Jeff G. I don't even know what to say. It's just going to be crazy.
All right, and that is the first Saturday of September?
That's right.
How are things shaping up as I'm assuming there will be a Sacred Ground this year? Do you know what the case is with that?
Yeah, I believe it's going to be October the 5th in Porterdale. And, you know, things are really heating up. Like I mentioned last week, Casey Kincaid returned and he teamed with Mason this past Saturday in their victorious in their tag team match. I think what really impressed me was the end of the Best of Seven series between Fred Yehi and Dynamite Soul. They just beat the hell out of each other. Fred Yehi came out on top and actually embraced Dynamite Soul after the match, which is really surprising with how personal that feud had turned.
Did that was the seventh match, or how many matches did that go?
Yeah, it's over. It went to the full stretch, and Fred Yehi picked up the win.
Well, I think a lot of people would probably be surprised that Dynamite Soul made it that far. I think he's one of those people that has improved quite a bit, at least since I first saw him, but definitely over the past year or so. And have the balls to challenge Fred Yehi to something like that was testament to how far he's come. But then for him to go to all seven, you know, full seven matches, that says a lot for him, even if he didn't come out on top.
I definitely agree with that. You know, I challenged Fred Yehi to a match once. I lasted about 7 minutes. Dynamite Soul lasted seven matches.
I believe I was there for that.
So I
got to
give it up for him.
You talking about the one at Academy Theater?
Yeah, you know, I had my two-match win streak. I was feeling pretty high and mighty, and I wanted to put it to the test.
Well, if I remember correctly, you surprised a lot of people. Even Fred Yehi, I think.
Yeah, you know, I think I gave him a little more than he was expecting. Obviously, I've grown a lot as a wrestler since then. But it was a fun match. You know, we trained together, we tested each other out, and I wouldn't be averse to doing it again one day down the line.
Well, perhaps when you are clear to wrestle again, that will be a possibility.
I hope so.
Well, did you attend or watch any other wrestling over the weekend?
You know, I didn't. Planning the next installment of Johnny Danger Time is taking up a lot of my time right now. I did hear, like you mentioned, about Jeter's big win at UIW, knocking off Bull Buchanan to add another championship. Well, not really to his waist. He can probably wear them on his wrist like watches.
He might be able to put the two belts together to make one big belt.
I think Jeter can do whatever he wants. I don't think there's anybody hotter in Georgia wrestling right now than Jeter.
I'd say maybe Bobby Moore, but there's definitely no one anywhere close to the two of them, I would think.
Agreed.
Well, it looks like our first guest is on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. His name, as I mentioned earlier, is Eric Bradford. How are you tonight, Eric?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's good to talk to you. I guess a lot of people in Georgia may not be all that familiar with you unless they watch reality television.
Well, let's be honest. I feel like everybody in Georgia has their television tuned to country music channels, so your entire audience should be pretty familiar with who I am.
You're right. I guess the fact that Rampage Pro Wrestling was on Honey Boo Boo not long ago is kind of proof of your point there. But,
it's huge.
So you are probably best known to many people for your appearance on Redneck Island. So I'm just curious, first of all, how that came about and what that experience was like for you.
Definitely. The way that came about was pretty simple. The producers of the show gave me a phone call in early April of last year, 2012. And they had said that they'd been scouting online for my area, looking at some pictures. They were looking for an athletic Southern male from South Carolina to meet a certain age bracket, and that I fit the bill pretty perfectly. So they wanted to do an interview. After the interview, they were going to give me some bad news about how I was definitely not redneck enough for the show. And I said, well, that's okay. I could probably beat all those rednecks with one hand tied behind my back anyway. And that persuaded them to put me right on there to see if that was indeed true.
All right. And then it looks like I have to be honest, I have not seen the show, but it looks similar to Survivor or something like that. Is that the case?
It was definitely pretty similar to Survivor. They took all of us, I believe there were 12 of us to start with. They took us out to an island off the coast of Mexico. They dropped us off via helicopter. They stuck us down in the jungles on the beach down there. And then they had two like tiki huts set up, and it was basically fend for yourself. There was from time to time canned food would wash up on shore, so you can find that with a metal detector. And there were creatures on the island to catch. We definitely had our fair local cuisine. We ate iguana, seagull, crab, fish, all kinds of cool stuff. Canned sardines, that was also apparently part of the local fair. But yeah, it was a great time. It was a blast. You got to drink a lot of beer, hang out with Steve Austin for a little bit, and the only downside was having to put up with 11 other hillbillies out there while I was trying to win some money.
And it looks like you made it through about half the season.
That's right. They, you can't keep a good man down. They tried to vote me off on the first episode and were unsuccessful due to the injury of a couple of other players that I can neither confirm nor deny responsibility for. And then about episode 5, they tried again, and unfortunately the numbers game was just not on my side, and I couldn't hurt quite enough people to keep myself in the running.
Well, halfway is better than getting voted off the first show, I guess.
That's exactly right. That's my thoughts exactly.
So let's back up a little bit. Before you got into pro wrestling, you were a college cheerleader. Is that correct?
Man, you're bringing out the big guns early. That's a low blow. Yes, I was a cheerleader for the University of South Carolina, and as much as I joke about it, I'm really proud of my experience there. Division I varsity athlete, competed at the NCAA National Championships for cheerleading, the NCAA National Championships for cheerleading. It was a very difficult program to be a part of. It was a lot of work, a lot of practice. There was a lot of scholarship money available, so that was great. It was a good time. It was great, and it was a excellent athletic experience. Being on the wrestling club also, they didn't have an NCAA team at South Carolina for wrestling, so that was really only a part-time sport, so I had to fill the rest of my time with something, and I sure wasn't going to study.
Well, I didn't know you were in a wrestling club in college. I was going to ask how the cheerleading segued into wrestling, but I guess there's a good bit of athleticism and strength training for that, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's you know, if you look at them from what at the very baseline of what both sports are, it's really about moving another person's body around. So the difference is in cheerleading, I'm trying not to break my toys, and in wrestling, I'm trying to break everything. So.
Well, you will be part of, as I mentioned earlier, APW. There are two APWs here in Georgia, but you are wrestling for American Premier Wrestling in Statesboro. And it looks like you've been there. Are you a tag champion there, or I saw you with a belt in some pictures?
Yes, sir. A tag team partner of mine and myself traveled down to Statesboro about a month ago and participated in the Ryan's Brawl for All You Can Eat. At that event, we captured the tag championships pretty soundly from in a three-way tag match down there, and we'll be defending those again coming up on the 24th at the SmackDown for Cancer.
And who is your tag team partner?
My tag team partner at this event is going to be the Inspiration, Brady Pierce. Brady Pierce is also a pretty well-traveled guy around here in the South. He's and all over the country. He wrestles up in Chicago at Resistance Pro Wrestling. He wrestles all over the Carolinas. He wrestles, you know, pretty much all over the Southeast and as far up, again, as I said, as Chicago. He's done spots and workouts with the WWE, so it's a real pleasure to have him as my partner. And I think that, you know, with his size, being about 6'2", and I'd guess about 270, you know, he's a big muscular fella. It shouldn't be too easy for us to be beaten. We should be pretty much unlocked to hold onto those belts this Saturday.
Is he the partner that you won the titles with?
No, actually, I won the titles with another partner. But you know, when you see the opportunity for an upgrade, you kind of have to take it. And you know, we're applying as I'm sure a lot of the Georgia fans are aware, we're using something we call the Freebird Rule, dropping one partner down and bringing another one up.
Well, who was your partner last time you were down there when you won the titles?
I won the titles with a fellow named Michael Freely. But due to an injury at the last event, he's not going to be able to compete at the upcoming SmackDown for Cancer, unfortunately. So Michael Freely out, Brady Pierce in.
Okay. And who is challenging you this time around?
I believe that our opponents are a couple of guys named Eric Glamour and the San Francisco Treat. I'm not sure what they're calling themselves as a group, but you know, they're two big fellas. They're both very unorthodox in the ring, whereas myself and Brady Pierce are much more traditional athletes. So this should be an interesting matchup to see what a couple of pure athletes like us do against the more unorthodox style of those guys. They're a lot more, gosh, I don't know a word to describe them other than unorthodox, different, strange, off the wall. But it should be entertaining for sure while watching us kick them all over the ring.
I have seen the San Francisco Treat in action, and I believe Johnny Danger has seen him as well at Monstrosity Championship Wrestling. I'm not familiar with the other guys.
We spent some time in a battle royal together, and he made quite an impression on me. I'll leave it at that.
He does have his own interesting style.
Yes.
He could be a potential fourth rock and roll model. Purely speculative there, Johnny, but...
Hey, you never know.
Well, what else you got coming up, Mr. Bradford? Are you wrestling anywhere else in Georgia this weekend?
This weekend, that's going to be my only shot over in Georgia. The big shows coming up on my calendar are with a company called WrestleForce that operates mainly in the Carolinas right now. WrestleForce is a company that came along, gosh, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they've really kind of been taking the Carolinas by storm. They've been bringing in the best talent that you can find out there, the best uncontracted talent, I guess we'll say, and even some contracted talent. They've got a lot of guys from the Total Nonstop Action Wrestling roster coming in. They've got some Ring of Honor talent that comes in on a pretty regular basis, and their roster's pretty stacked. So it's a fun place to wrestle, and you never know who you're going to draw to get for an opponent up there, but you always know it's going to be a challenge. There's not a lot of room for any fat up there. So, you know, everything there is pretty much A-list talent.
Yeah, I follow WrestleForce on Facebook and have seen some footage online, and it definitely looks like a quality promotion.
Yeah, they run a very good show, and they run a tight ship. They don't put up a lot of nonsense. So you really got to be on your A-game to stay in that locker room and keep yourself around. So it's nice being around guys who are all driven and who all really want to be the best. And even when you're competing against them, you know, trying to get that win, you know you're competing against a quality opponent. You know you're not going to walk out there for an easy night ever.
Well, when are you wrestling there again?
Those shows are coming up. They have a big two-night event coming up in Casey, South Carolina. It's going to be a Friday and a Saturday, August the 30th and the 31st. Friday the 30th, they're calling it Full Throttle, and they're really putting the pedal to the floor on that one. They're letting all the guns blaze on it. They're bringing in big talent, big names, huge Friday night show. And on Saturday, it's called Meltdown, the hottest show in the Carolinas. You're also going to see some huge names, some familiar faces from the Friday show, and some big names from they're fresh for Saturday. There's going to be several championship matches for both the tag team championships and their WrestleForce title there. They've got some matches that feature Ring of Honor stars against TNA stars. So you're going to see a lot of cool matches up there, a lot of great competition. It's a great ticket to get. It's 15 matches over the 2 days, and I believe the ticket is $15 for the two-day ticket. You can find that flyer on my Facebook page, Eric Bradford, or on WrestleForce's Facebook page, at WrestleForce, and you can order the ticket through that page as well.
And most importantly, who are you taking on at those events, or do you know yet?
I have a pretty good idea. The match is a little bit up in the air. My career with WrestleForce is kind of on the way back up after an incident that happened last December. A tag team partner of mine named Brandon Paradise kind of pulled one over on me back in December after a match that we came out on the wrong end of, attacked me with a chair and put me out of action for about 6 months. Back in June, I made a return to the promotion trying to get a match with Brandon Paradise, and finally I'm going to be able to have one here on the 31st, that's Saturday night, and it's going to be a pick your dream partner match. So both of us have decided that we're going to prove to the other one that we were the dominant member of our tag team. So you're going to see me choosing a mystery partner against Brandon Paradise and whoever he can find.
All right, and I'm guessing you don't want to reveal anything just yet.
I'd love to tell you that, but I guarantee you Brandon Paradise is listening to this right now to try to get my strategy, so I can't divulge any of that information.
Well, Johnny Danger, do you have any questions for Eric Bradford?
Well, you took mine. I was going to ask for a hint on the partner, but... you have any idea who Mr. Paradise is going to choose as his partner? Is there somebody you really don't want to face?
You know, I've seen a couple of the guys around the locker room, and somebody that I would hate to face from that locker room is definitely there definitely is those Impact Wrestling roster guys. Unless of course I've already picked one for myself. Those guys are definitely on another level. They're bigger, they're stronger, and that's what we're all trying to get to. We're all trying to get up on that next level. So if Brandon somehow weasels one of those guys into being his partner, he should be giving me a tough match. Otherwise, I think I've got an ace in the hole here that'll pretty much put me on lock for the victory, but we'll have to see about that come the 31st.
Well, hey, you sound pretty confident. Good luck, man.
I have to be, my friend. Lose or go home, right?
There you go.
Well, speaking of getting to the next level, back to you, your appearance on Redneck Island. Did the exposure that you got there, or just the association with Stone Cold Steve Austin, get you any attention from bigger companies, or did you see your bookings go up after that, or anything like that?
The bookings definitely went up after that, just because like me, people were trying to take advantage of the television value of that program and the association with Stone Cold. I was lucky enough to spend a little bit of time with Stone Cold during the filming of that program and learn a trick or two. So hopefully you see that reflected in the wrestling that I do post Redneck Island. But as for the bigger companies taking notice, I've been in contact with a company or two, larger promotions from around the country, larger televised promotions, and we have not come to any kind of terms on anything yet. We've not been able to set up any dates for anything solid, but I've definitely been in more communication with larger companies because of the show, and they definitely take a little more notice once you've already generated some television ratings.
Right. When that was airing, how far in advance was it recorded? Were you wrestling actively once it was on the air?
Oh, certainly, yes. They the filming of the program was completed before they released the first episode. So the entire series was done through production and through post-production before they aired one episode. And that's pretty common now, especially for the competition style shows. They just want to make sure they have everything on lockdown before they start putting stuff on TV.
Right.
So it was nice to be able to take advantage, you know, knowing what I already knew what was going to happen. I knew the results already, to be able to play off of what I knew was going to be shown on the television, as I was taking bookings and as I was, trying to get my name out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, we only have a few minutes left before our next guest calls in. So, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about while we have you?
You know, if you're going to give me an open mic, I guess I could think of something. But I'm sure you guys have pressing business to get to. I want to remind everybody: check out WrestleForce shows coming up in Columbia. Again, that's Full Throttle and Meltdown on the 30th and the 31st. Those are going to be excellent shows. If you're in the area of Casey, South Carolina, or even if you're not, make the trip over there. Great value for your money, great entertainment, and some excellent wrestling matches, some advertised and some are going to be a little surprising. So you never know quite what you're going to see at one of those shows. Also, on the 24th, come check out SmackDown for Cancer. It's for a great cause. Brady Pierce and I are going to be defending the Tag Team Championships against Eric Glamour and the San Francisco Treat. That match should be entertaining at the very least, and hopefully we'll be looking to steal the show on that one, if nothing else, to raise some money for a great cause, curing cancer. And then I've also heard there's a company called Monstrosity Championship Wrestling that you got to be on the lookout for. I'm still looking to get a foot in the door down there. So if you guys know anybody from Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, man, just let me know. And Eric Bigley, Eric Bradford would love to come down there and work a little bit too.
All right. Well, hopefully Professor Morte is listening. If he's not, I will let him know.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for having me on today. And good luck with the rest of your broadcast, and hopefully we'll see you guys coming up at SmackDown for Cancer and on the 31st at Meltdown.
All right, and good luck in your title match there, as well as whatever happens at WrestleForce.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
All right, well, I guess it's a good time to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll talk to the Baron.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling Television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Anybody there?
This must be really awkward for anyone listening, but and I don't know if anybody could hear me a moment ago, but we're having technical difficulties that I think began with that commercial break. But we're just going to keep going, and hopefully people can hear us. And we're going to bring on our next guest, who is now on the line. And his name is the Black Baron. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. Glad it stopped raining, finally. Finally stopped raining. It's a better day now that I don't have to see rain. Hello?
Yeah, can you?
Can anybody hear me?
Can you hear me now? I can hear you now. I couldn't hear nothing a second ago.
Okay, I don't know if Jonathan's on. This is Johnny Danger talking to you, Black Baron. How's it going, man?
It's going all right.
So tell me, how exactly does one become the Black Baron? Was this title bestowed upon you? Was it self-coordinated? Could you fill us in?
Well, just to say it, it was pretty much self-coordinated. It's pretty much one half of a nickname I had my whole life, and then basically I just stuck it together with something I came up on my own. And I just ran with it from there, and everything else is history. Everybody knows me by that name, and when they hear about the Emperor, the Black Baron, they know exactly who he is.
And hey, if you back it up, man, I can dig it.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
So I'm not too terribly familiar with the WWA 4. Why don't you fill us in on... Reading your bio now, I see you've been their heavyweight champion 3 times?
Actually, it's 4 times now. It's going up since then.
Excellent. Well, who'd you beat for number 4?
The 4th one was actually, oh, man, I can't quite remember because my last reign was very long. It was nearly a year long, so... I don't even recall who I defeated for it.
That's
I know
a hell of a problem
it was
to
a
have.
Multi. You know, you held it for so long, for almost a year, you almost forgot that at one point you did not have it around your waist.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So you pretty much forget that. But it actually might have been. AR-5. I think it was AR-5.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, it was AR-5. That's how long ago it was.
Well, considering the titles he's won and everything he's achieved since then, that's saying quite a bit for you.
Yeah, he's a great competitor. I love getting in the ring with him, you know. And he really brings the some tough competition. You definitely got to step your game up when you get in the ring with AR-5. He's going to bring everything, 110%.
Well, he will, of course, be a part of the Summer SmackDown Back to School Bash this Saturday, where you will be taking on the Fireman, who is the guy who puts that event together every year. I believe it's a yearly thing. Is that right?
I'm not sure about the Back to School one, but... Usually the one he puts together every year is the Fall Brawl one up. That's going to happen later on this fall as well.
Okay.
That's the one that's been annually going around, but he has been basically doing more shows. So that's why you see the Summer SmackDown for the Back to School Bash.
Okay. Well, I know you guys have probably faced each other previously, but what's the background to this match? What led to the two of you being in the main event?
Well, we do have some history. Me and old Fireman have some history. he came, he trained at WWE4 here in Atlanta, where I'm at. And basically, he was a guy that pretty much, you know, I don't really want to say took under my wing, but guided, and we ended up being, you know, tag team partners. We ended up tagging together. We ended up creating this whole big stable, this big faction together. So we're very familiar with each other. And then we had our battles as well, which he, the Emperor has came out on top every time. I need to point that out. And we had our battles as well. So we were very familiar with each other.
Well, what do you anticipate going into this match?
I anticipate that since the last time I got in the ring, Fireman, and worked him, he has gotten a lot better. I will give him credit for that. Most definitely, from what I've seen since he, you know, he has branched out more and worked for more shows and more promotions throughout Georgia and outside of Georgia. He has progressed very well, and I think now he feels he can compete at a high level with me, and I think that's pretty much what ended up leading to this match. The last match, me and him, but it had to be the Winter Rumble match, which was back in, I believe it was February, where he tagged with UHA Nation and I tagged with A.R. Fox. And he hung tough, you know, and they ended up getting a victory over us. But I don't think he was pretty much satisfied with that. I think he really wants to show me up. I think he really wants to show me that he can hang with me, and I think he really wants to beat me one-on-one by himself. That's not going to be an easy task, per se. It really isn't, because I'm going to bring it to him, and he knows it.
All right. Well, we've mentioned, you know, your affiliation with WWA4, and, of course, you work the Fireman shows quite a bit, but do you have any other events coming up or anywhere else that you wrestle on a regular basis?
Oh, yes, I do. I do wrestle on a pretty much regular basis. I wrestle mostly, I got to say it's mostly outside of Georgia. I have worked for P-State Wrestling Alliance, PWA. I work there every now and again when I am free. Also have a big show coming up in Atlanta, which is going to be sponsored by the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know if you heard about it. I think you probably have heard about it. It's the Labor Day Pro Wrestling Bash in Suwanee, Georgia, presented by Georgia Sports Performance. I'm also going to be on that show. And I also got other independent promotions around the country I work for, such as Beyond Wrestling, which is in the Northeast, and various other places that I travel to on a consistent basis throughout in the Midwest and the South, mostly the North as well.
Well, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons event, there's a guy that will be at both of those events that is a former Falcon, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, that's Quinn Moose Ojinaka. Former Atlanta Falcon, actually came to WWE4 facility a couple of years ago and did the tryout camp and then returned, I believe it was like the middle of last year or the end of last year, and basically went for full-time training to become a full-time professional wrestler. So far he's been working out real good for himself, and he's a pretty impressive individual. Former offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons, a 300-pound guy, and he moves like he's 150. So it's some impressive stuff right there to see.
Yeah, I actually I saw him. He made an appearance at a WWA4, or it may have been a PWL that runs there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of one of those shows, but he didn't wrestle, so I was curious about that part. I think he just was in someone's corner or something like that when I saw him. But how has he progressed since he's been training, since he started training?
He's progressed very well. I don't know what it is about former football players coming for professional wrestling and be able to transfer fur over so quickly, but he has done it. He has picked up everything very quickly, picking up on the basics and learning the psychology of wrestling. And he's picked on it very quickly. He's progressing very fast and very well. That's for sure.
Have you had a chance to step in the ring against him yet or alongside him?
Yes, I have been able to actually work Moose Ojinaka. Actually, I think it was like 4 weeks ago at the WWE 4 show on Thursdays. And he was pretty impressive individual to work with. Very strong individual. I don't think he really knows his strength too much either. But it was a great match. I enjoyed working with him. He definitely has the potential. He definitely has the upside. He definitely has a future in his business because he really loves it. And, you know, it's not really about the fame or the fortune or on the back end. For him, it's really about he really loves professional wrestling. He's been a fan all his life. You can really tell it.
Well, what has your experience at WWA 4 been like? You know, we hear a lot of different stories about people that come from there, and of course, a lot of those people have gone on to much bigger things, such as AR Fox and various other people, even people that are in WWE and TNA right now. But what was your experience like there?
My experience there has been great. That's about as much like sum it up. Great, awesome, amazing, outstanding. Quite frankly, I'll go on a record and say this has to be the best school in the country. I mean, this has to be the best wrestling school in the country. I think the products that have been coming out of here showcase for it. You know, like you said, Heath Slater, who's in WWE. You got Sam Shaw, who works for TNA. You have AR Fox. You have Jonathan Gresham. You have Buha Nation, both guys that have been in Japan on major promotions in Japan and doing major tours and going back again. like you said, the products have some real good products that come out there, and I'm finally getting my opportunities for myself to showcase it. You know, if I could match up to those caliber of athletes of the past that WWE has produced, and I'm just capitalizing on my opportunities I'm getting now. The experience has been outstanding, you know. And this is one question I really want to ask, because me coming into WWE when I did in 2009, I never understood. I don't know what this misconception is about, you know, like you were saying. Some people say certain things about WWE wrestlers, and other people say certain things about them, you know, whether it's good or bad. You know, for me, a guy coming in 2009, I did not know the history of how some people felt about WWE before I got there. So hearing it from the grapevine or hearing rumblings every now and again, it's kind of frustrating at first, because you don't really know why WWE has a bad taste in some people's mouths, because you don't know the history and you just came to the school moving from another state or another city. You know,
right.
I would like to have the answer to that one day, because I know everybody that's there now, we are very serious individuals. We are very focused on our craft, and we are very humble individuals. So whenever I can get the answer to that, it would be great, because I have no clue. Like, I'm really out in the dark on that part.
Well, maybe that's something that if anybody's listening that wants to call in sometime and let us know. I'm kind of curious. I know some people have personal issues there with people there and stuff like that, but other than that, it seems like that school produces a variety of styles, and I'm not sure. I know Curtis is the main trainer, but I don't know how he trains people that can do all kinds of high-flying stuff, as well as bigger guys like Uha Nation and people that do just more traditional grappling and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And if anybody wants to address it, they're welcome to call in. But glad to hear your experience was good there.
Yes, sir.
Who is the current champion there?
The current champion right now is Jonathan Gresham.
Okay.
The current champion.
And is that who defeated you for the title?
Unfortunately, yes, that's who defeated me. Unfortunately, I'm going to make my way back to the top.
Yeah, you remember that part. You remember that. You always remember who beats you.
Oh, yeah, that's fresh. That's fresh. So I remember it right now. I'm a little bit naked around the waistline, so I definitely remember it as of right now.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things about co-hosting this show for the past couple of weeks, I'm getting exposed to guys that I don't normally hear from, I don't normally get to see. You know, I think any wrestler, they have to be a fan of the business foremost. So what's the one match you would suggest for somebody to go check out if they want to learn what the Black Baron's all about?
Oh, man. Okay. Wow. That's pretty difficult because I have had some matches with a lot of my peers and colleagues that I have really loved.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to just pick one and then they'd be like, oh, so you didn't think our match was too good? See, that's right. You know what I'm saying? So that's
okay.
What makes it difficult. So I'm like, oh, man, because I really do love, I just can't, like, pinpoint one because, you know, I have quite a few matches I'm very satisfied in with myself, and I'm also very satisfied how I worked with the other guy and the other opponent as well. So there's quite a few of them. I guess I could give you
Can you narrow it down to three?
Three? Oh, my list is about 25. So there it is, about three. Oh, man. Okay, I will say this, though. The first time, well, actually, it was the only time. It was Fall Brawl last year, and I worked Anthony Henry. I was very impressed with him when I worked with him, and that was really one of the best matches I had in Georgia, period. That guy really has some talent, and I think he's going to go some places, so that would definitely be one. And that was Fall Brawl last year when I worked Anthony Henry. Pretty much any Black Baron era Fox match you will see on YouTube, just type it in. You could pick any one of them. Because there's a lot of them. So the most recent one you will like to look up is Storm Beyond Wrestling YouTube page. It'll have Black Baron versus AR Fox at a recent Beyond show that was in December of last year. That has to be probably one of my top three matches with AR Fox. So that will be a second one I would suggest people want to check out if they want to know about the Emperor. It's a third one. Oh, that makes it more difficult, man. It's difficult. Oh, man. Ooh. Mm. Oh, man. I would say the third one, probably check out on Beyond Wrestling page as well, on the YouTube page, Beyond Wrestling. Black Baron versus Biff Busick. Very talented guy from the Northeast. That was a pretty good match for me. I was very satisfied with that. And I'll even give you a fourth one. You could pretty much look up a match that happened on the Thursday WA4 show about 2 months ago. It was me and Jonathan Gresham. We went a 37-minute match. That was really one of the longest matches I ever had in my career. So that's definitely something you would want to check out if you want to look up on a Black Baron. So I gave you four.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, we'll
we've got some viewing material now.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, what do you have coming up at WWA4? Do you know ahead of time who you're facing, or is it kind of show up and find out?
Most of the time you do. Sometimes it is, sometimes, you know, you got to show up and things change. That's why every show you have cards subject to change, because things happen.
Right.
You know, and things change. So as far as coming up this week Thursday is what you're asking me, I have in line my rematch from my WA4 Heavyweight Championship against Jonathan Gresham. Well, that will be this week.
Ah, so it's a big week for you then.
Definitely a big week. I got to get my baby back. My baby's been calling me. She's been sending me text messages. She's been hitting me on Twitter. She's been sending me Instagram. She's lonely without me. I got to have her back.
And, of course, it will give you some momentum going into your match on Saturday if you go in holding WWE4 title.
Definitely. It definitely will help me.
All right. Well, you got anything else coming up that you want to mention?
No, that is all. That's all that's coming up there right around the corner. That's the Black Baron will be doing, and Summer Smackdown this weekend, WA4 title match this Thursday at the WA4 Arena, and Beyond Wrestling right after that, and then you have the Labor Day Pro Wrestling Show at GSP Suwannee. That's on the Black Baron list for the next few weeks. It's pretty much what everybody needs to check out if they can.
All right. Well, sounds good. I appreciate you giving us a call. And I guess good luck in both your matches this weekend.
Thank you. No problem, man. Anytime I'll come back on here.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later then.
All right.
Well, Johnny Danger, we have a few minutes left. We haven't talked about SummerSlam, which you said you did not see, but I did see it, and it was a very interesting pay-per-view. I think a lot of people would agree. Do you have any thoughts on what you've read about it?
I hear a lot of buzz about the ending of the show where Daniel Bryan defeated John Cena for the championship, only to have, I believe it was Randy Orton, cash in and become the new champion.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people
are mad about that.
Well, I think they're mad about Triple H's part in it.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't exactly right down the middle, but to be the WWE champion for 2 minutes is better than to never be the champion at all. And I think a few years ago, nobody would have seen Daniel Bryan as a world champion, at least not
right.
on this stage. But he's proven everyone wrong, and what's stopping him from doing it again?
Yeah, and if you remember, when he lost the world championship in, I believe it was 8 seconds at WrestleMania a couple of years ago,
right.
It ended up being probably the best thing that could have happened for him, because it got him over with the fans so well and started the yes, yes, yes thing and all of that. So we'll see what happens tonight on Raw, but I think his history has proven that these kind of things are in his favor, oddly enough.
Yeah, hey, sometimes you just have to be knocked down, to see how high you can get back up.
And I'm sure he has a rematch clause, as does John Cena, so we'll probably see a triple threat match of some sort at the next pay-per-view, but I honestly would like to just see Daniel Bryan defeat Randy Orton or John Cena again, for that matter. But regardless of how it turned out, I think he proved himself, and there's a bit of irony there, I guess, because, a few years ago he was fired from WWE for what he did to John Cena when he was part of Nexus. And then during that hiatus that he actually wrestled for Rampage Pro Wrestling here in Georgia. So he's someone with a little bit of history in Georgia. But then to see him come back, a few years later and be much like CM Punk, actually, when he faced John Cena for the title, they had a little bit of history, and he built himself up and worked his way to the top and won the title. So even if it was a 2-minute reign, like you said, he could now add WWE champion to his resume, along with the many other accolades that he's had throughout his career.
And that's not a resume that too many people have.
Right. But one thing I thought was interesting was the number of people at SummerSlam that have history in Georgia. Of course, Cody Rhodes is the son of Dusty Rhodes and lives in Marietta. But a lot of other people were part of Deep South Wrestling, which used to be their developmental territory in McDonough, including Natalia, who was victorious in her match. Trying to remember who else was on the show last night. Not sure. That may be the only ones that had any significant time in Georgia, but I don't know. I think it just proves that Georgia is still a strong wrestling state, even though it's changed a lot since its wrestling heyday in the 70s and 80s, I guess.
It's changed, but, you know, the fan base is still here. The heart of wrestling, to be a little cliche, it has not stopped beating, and I don't think it will anytime soon.
I would agree with you there. Well, I guess we need to wrap things up, but where will you be in the next coming weeks? I know you'll be at PWR defending your tag titles on Sunday, and then what do you have after that?
Well, yeah, let's focus on this Sunday right quick. 142 Alta Vista Road, the National Guard Armory in Gainesville. All the champions will be there, the Rock and Roll Models, Kevin Blue, Zach Daniels, the Fraternity will be there, the Undead Luchadors, you know, just a great sampling of the various talents all across the state of Georgia. After that, like I mentioned earlier, it will be Johnny Danger time once again, Saturday, September the 7th in Porterdale. And hopefully I'm not going to end up back in the ring with Siler Cross. He's already retired me. I don't know what else he could do to me in PCW, and really I don't want to find out.
Well, that's understandable. Well, let's see what we have lined up for next Monday. We have a guy named, I believe it's pronounced Dagon, D-A-G-O-N, Briggs, who does a zombie gimmick. He wrestles mostly in Florida, but he will be at Dragon Con for Dragon Con Wrestling. And I've seen him at Dragon Con in previous years. And he's an impressive talent, as well as a odd theatrical visual performer. But I see he also has a big match against Fordell Walker coming up in October. And so he's going to be one of our guests next week. And I have not yet lined up a second guest, but with all the shows, we may have someone from the one that Black Baron just mentioned, that Atlanta Falcons Labor Day show. Because I looked at the Facebook invitation for that, and it is an impressive lineup of talent. So, but either way, we'll be back next Monday at 7 p.m. And Johnny Danger, you know if you'll be co-hosting again?
I don't see why not.
All right. Well, it makes it easy for me. you're doing a fine enough job, and I don't have to search for another co-host, so...
Perhaps isn't that all anybody can really aim for in life, is to do a fine enough job?
You're doing it. Yeah, I think I would be content going through life having done a fine enough job, because you could do worse.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we're going to go for now, but we'll be back next Monday at 7, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.